U.S. economy is growing faster than we thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the government says economic growth over the summer was 2.5%. That's a bit higher than the initial reports. But first, where's Wall Street? It's down. The Dow is down 114 points right now at 11,063. The NASDAQ down just over a percent, and the S&P 500 also down a little more than a percent. The unfolding skirmish between North and South Korea is weighing on markets here and in Europe and Asia today. Here in the U.S., we just got earnings from Hormel Foods. The company's profits rose 17% last quarter thanks to higher turkey prices. That might not be such a good thing for the rest of us on this Thanksgiving week. Now to our top story. The U.S. economy grew at 2.5% last quarter, according to new figures this morning from the government. Let's bring in Julie Neiman. She's an analyst with Smith, Moore & Company, and she joins us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So GDP growth was higher than first thought. Dig into the numbers for us a little bit. Why is the government revising that figure upward?
Well, we had several categories. First of all, cars. Why are there so many new cars? Cash for clunkers shredded most of the usable cars, so there's no inventory. People are forced to buy new. We're seeing manufacturing inventories rise for exports and computers, cheaper, more powerful, still continuing on. But the economy needs twice that growth to help unemployment. It takes a 5% rise in GDP to make unemployment go down 1%, and that's not likely for a long time, so unemployment stays high. So who continues to spend to make the economy grow? It's going to be the rich and the government.
The rich and the government. What about the rest of us, Julie? We'll probably be doing some shopping this weekend. How does the retail sector look to you as we head into this crucial holiday shopping season?
Well, buying on Black Friday is really important. That's typically when retail companies go from red ink losses to black ink profits. Black Friday is very important. It did start in October, though, so they're really pushing it heavily this year. We're looking at about 2.3% increase in sales, but after that, people have really figured it out. They stay home for about 2 weeks. Retailers get hysterical, I mean really promotional. They advertise even more than the election advertising, but it's less annoying. They start really big giveaways in the last 10 days. Online's going to be huge and growing this year because free shipping. So Black Monday is the big thing everybody's looking for, too. That's when shoppers go back to work and shop online, and it's the worst day for productivity in the office for the year.
And that's next Monday, I believe. Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company, thanks so much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
A voluntary market for buying and selling greenhouse gas credits will shut down next month. The Chicago Climate Exchange started trading carbon emissions back in 2003. The program was supposed to play a big role in a national strategy to reduce global warming. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, politics got in the way.
450 companies participated in the Chicago Climate Exchange's carbon trading program. Corporate giants like Ford and American Electric Power agreed to a limit on carbon emissions. Those that polluted less could then sell their emissions credits. The companies expected that Congress would soon make such a system mandatory. But it didn't, and it won't anytime soon, especially since Republicans now rule the U.S. House. Conservatives like Nick Loris at the Heritage Foundation say cap and trade is deader than dead.
A lot of people are saying this is another nail in the coffin. I think it's even further along than that. I think, you know, the coffin's already buried and people are shoveling the dirt on top of it right now.
This is really a sad day where a market approach to solving an environmental problem looks like it's falling by the wayside.
That's Yale's Dan Esty. He says it's ironic that conservatives are cheering the demise of a market-based solution to global warming. But analyst Emily Mazzucarati at Point Carbon thinks it's too early to write the obituary.
Because you have carbon markets at the regional level.
Mazzucarati notes that Californians recently voted to continue with plans for an emissions trading program in the state. And don't forget, 10 northeastern states have been doing it under a regional program since 2008. A recent study, though, criticized the northeastern program for setting its emissions targets too low. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Toyota is sharing technology and ideas for a better world. Learn more at toyota.com/ideas for good. by The Economist, covering worldwide news and ideas and the connections between them on newsstands, The Economist online, and now on iPhone and iPad. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
Sarah Palin's new book comes out today. It's called America by Heart, Reflections on Family, Faith, and Flag. Now, many people are speculating that the book is the beginning of a presidential campaign, but brand Palin is already winning votes, or should I say dollars. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
It's a bull market for the Mama Grizzly. Since quitting her job as Alaska's governor, Sarah Palin has been getting $100,000 speaking fees. Her first book deal was reportedly worth $7 million. She's got a $1 million contract with Fox. And her new show, Sarah Palin's Alaska, is a monster hit and apparently paying her a monster sum, $250,000 an episode.
This is flipping fun. I'd rather be doing this than in some stuffy old political office. I'd rather be out here being free.
All told, Palin is earning about $10 million a year. Brand strategist Jeff Gregory says the reason she's such a big earner is that her brand really resonates.
You want to get mad at Washington? You're with Sarah Palin. You want to get upset over increased taxes? You get mad with Sarah Palin. She can be a little hokey sometimes, but that's what she does. She does it very well.
Could Palin take the White House? Gregory says even if she tries and fails, it will enhance her brand. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, a strange tale from Northern California. A man was being rescued yesterday after he was stranded on an island in a bay just northeast of San Francisco. He had survived on that island for 5 days, living on vitamins and native plants. Well, turns out he had a cell phone with him the whole time, and he didn't use it because he said he didn't want taxpayers to foot the bill for a Coast Guard rescue. He did, by the way, use the cell phone to call his friend, who called the Coast Guard, who rescued him. Go figure. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Online shopping is par for the course these days, but do you really want to buy stuff like bathing suits and jeans without trying them on?
The vintage indigo probably is the middle of the road.
Okay.
And, you know, the rinsed is really dark.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Retailers are using video chat to make online clothes shopping a little more user-friendly. That story's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.